interesting choice for the song, because it kind of fits in with the message, because we're going to look at some things related to Cain today. And Cain wasn't too receptive to being taught God's way. We'll see what his response was. But we're going to continue with this series on the world system. And it's interesting as we move into some of the things dealing with the foundation of it. It's through the New Testament that we can put some things together that we wouldn't understand or know without it. We can see that Satan really worked in cooperation with Cain to establish his first world system. Now, so when we're talking about the world system, we're talking about the cosmos system, and it's an organized system. It's Satan's system. He's the ruler of it. And so it includes all of the things that make up society. I mean, false religion, commerce, government, education, entertainment, etc. And so when we look at the Christian that is here on earth is in the world system, but he's not out from it as the source. And so the world system isn't making believers. That's something that God does. And so it's interesting when you think about the Christian here on earth, we're to use it though. But we're to use it as a means to an end. We're not to use it to its fullest. We're not to abuse it. And so one of the things that we need to keep in mind, as Christians, positionally, we're separated from it in our position in Christ. And so we've already been separated from it in our position in Christ. And so while you live here on earth and you're in the world system, you're not out from it. You don't need to try and separate from it because you already are in Christ. All you have to do is put your position in Christ into practice and remain settled there. If you were to try and separate from it, you would have to leave the planet. And I mean, you're going to have to leave altogether. And so it is a condemned system, though, and so it's temporary. It's passing away, so it's not going to be around for long. One of the things that we can see is as a spiritual Christian who's being filled by the Spirit, though, can misdirect his agape love at the world system and the things that are in it. And we know that the Christian can't be loving God the Father and the world system or the things in the world system at the same time. And so when I say misdirect, that's exactly what it is. It's not something that we should be directing our agape love at as spiritual Christians. Today we want to begin to look at the development of the world system. We're going to start looking at some of the events that preceded its development. There's a lot of interesting things. I'm going to try not to bite off too much because I anticipate it's going to be raining soon, and Don's already told me I have to quit as soon as that happens.
You just realize the sun's shining right
now. Well, we're here a long time then. but not too long. It's interesting when you think about the world system. Is the world system, it does provide a means for individuals, though, to pursue their own will, to do things the way they want to do things, to please themselves. You know, and all of these things, the world system allows for independently of God. And so we'll see that the world system as it was first developed, and Cain was instrumental in the development of Satan's first world system, is Cain got something out of it. He got to keep his me first attitude. We're going to see that about Cain. Me first. Definitely not God first. Definitely not his brother first. And so it was a me first attitude. And so the world system is, and we're not going to get to the development of it today, but we're going to look at some of the events that built towards that. And so Cain got something out of it though. And he was able to pursue his own will and to please himself. And he did that independently of God. And Satan got something out of it. Satan got some influence and some control to be able to carry out or attempt to carry out his plan. And so there was a little bit of a trade-off there that eventually, hopefully, we'll get to see. Now, I want to go back into Luke chapter 11 just real quickly and be reminded, because this is where we have in Scripture, this is what tells us, this is going to connect Cain with the foundation or the establishment of the world system. And so in Luke chapter 11, and I guess we'll just go ahead and open with our word of prayer now, and we'll continue on. Father, we do thank you for the day. We're thankful for the opportunities that we have when we can be together, we can be in your word, and we have the opportunities to be spirit taught and to share time with other believers. And we pray your spirit would continue to guide and to direct as we continue. In Christ's name, amen. So in chapter 11, and I could get bogged down and we could stay here a long time, but in this context, the Lord here, he's denouncing the Pharisees and the lawyers. And so basically what he's denouncing is that even though they were going through the motions, their motives and their attitudes automatically polluted their actions. So it doesn't work the other way around. Your actions don't purify the heart. And so let me just illustrate that a little bit here in Luke 11. Just grab a tiny bit of the context in verse 37. And he spoke, a certain Pharisee besought him to dine with him, and he went in and he sat down to meat. And so he just reclined to dine. And when the Pharisee saw it, he marveled that he had not first washed before dinner. And the Lord said unto him, now do you Pharisees make clean the outside of the cup and the platter, but your inward part is full of ravening, just a robbery and wickedness, just malignant evil, wickedness. And so you see that in Luke 7:37 and 39. And we could go through this whole context, but for time's sake, let me just skip up to verse 49. Therefore also said the wisdom of God, I will send them prophets and apostles, and some of them they shall slay and persecute. And so that's what happens to an unsaved or fallen human nature. That's the response, if you will, to revelation from God. And so I think that's what happened, and we're going to get to this with Cain and Abel. One of the things you're going to see here is Abel was a prophet. And we're going to notice, I'm going to mention it now, but when Cain slew, he killed Abel as a sacrifice. They went out into the field and they talked. I believe if Abel was a prophet, he had revelation from God. I believe that's where you would fit in. Abel was revealing some revelation from God. And we see what Cain's response. And so some of that, I don't have the scripture to say that's exactly what happened, but putting some of this together, it seems to fit. And so in Luke 11:50, and the blood of all the prophets, which was shed from the foundation of the cosmos. And so of the cosmos system may be required of this, and the King James reads generation, you could also translate this word race. And that's how I would understand this here is race. And then he says, from the blood of Abel. And so this takes us back. I believe this is going to connect then the foundation of the cosmos system with the slaying of Abel by his brother Cain. And so from the blood of Abel, it also reveals to us that Abel was a prophet. You wouldn't know that just by reading your Old Testament. But from the blood of Abel into the blood of Zacharias, which perished between the altar and the temple, truly I say unto you, it shall be required of this. And again, I would translate this race. And so that's going to be our connection back to Cain and the foundation of the world system. And so we're going to have to put some things together to see how this worked. And we're just going to take part of Genesis chapter 4 today and consider some of the things, some of the events that led up to the slaying of Abel. And then we'll see how Satan, now we're not going to find this in scripture, but we see from scripture that Satan is the ruler of the world system. It's his baby. And so then we can start to put some of these things together from the New Testament. And then we can see that there's some things there that happened in Genesis 4 that we can only put together through revelation that we've received in the New Testament. And so let's go ahead and go back to Genesis chapter 4. And so in Genesis chapter 4, we're going to pick up in this context in verse 1. Now, Adam and Eve, they've been driven out of the Garden of Eden. And in Genesis 4:1, it says, and Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived. And she bore Cain and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And so the name Cain is interesting. I believe there's a little bit of an indication here. The word Cain, it comes from the root that's translated, the verb of the root, I have gotten, I have acquired. And so Cain just literally means acquired one. I think potentially this indicates that Eve had some faith. this could be an indicator. You won't find Eve in the Hall of Fame of Faith. But I think Eve understood back when the Lord said in 3:15, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, speaking in reference to the serpent, and between thy seed and her seed, and he shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. And so I think Eve understood that there was going to be a seed that was going to bruise at the head of the serpent. And so I think she may have thought that Cain would be the seed which that Cain. And so she named him Cain, just the acquired one, and said, and so she said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. I have gotten, or I have acquired with Jehovah, just kind of the idea with the help of Jehovah. And And then in verse 2, in Genesis 4:2, and she further, or she again bare or bore his brother, Abel. And so, Abel, just the word for a breath, a vapor. And so we see some things about these two brothers here. It says, and Abel was a keeper of sheep. And so a keeper of sheep, he was a tender of a flock or a feeder of a flock. In other words, Abel was a shepherd. And Cain was a tiller of the ground. Just literally, he was a worker of the ground. He was a farmer. And so Abel was a shepherd. Cain was a farmer. Abel was a feeder of a flock, and Cain was a worker of the ground. And so now as we move into verse 3, we're going to see the example of Cain's tribute to Jehovah. And so in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord, or just unto Jehovah. And so some of the things that you don't pick up in the English here from the Hebrew is that Cain, when it says he brought of the fruit, it's an hifil imperfect. And so I'm saying for Don's benefit. I know there's some interesting things here from the Hebrew. This is why you take all that Hebrew.
Amen.
And so here it says Cain was caused to bring of the fruit of the ground. And so the hifil, it's a causative. And so he was caused to bring, but it's interesting, it's an incomplete action. And so this imperfect here. And so this tells me a couple things about Cain's attitude. And so I don't know for sure, because it doesn't tell me exactly where Cain was born, but I have a hunch because of this imperfect is that he was from Missouri. Yeah, show me. The show me state. See, because it was an incomplete action. Cain's attitude wasn't one of faith, of believing all of what God had revealed about himself. He wanted to be shown. His tribute, his offering here was, as you bless me, I'll tribute you. And this can be an ongoing thing. And so the more you bless me, the more I'll gift you, is kind of the idea of his offering. And so there's this me first, show me attitude. This isn't an attitude of belief. And so this imperfect hifil here that Cain was caused to bring. Now, he was caused to bring. Now, I think the hifil is here is because he had been blessed with abundance. And so he recognized, he was caused to recognize this. And so he was caused to bring of the fruit of the ground. And so just of the produce of the ground. He was a farmer. He was a worker of the ground. He says an offering unto the Lord. Now, we've got to make sure here we don't mistakenly think that this offering here is a sin offering. This word for offering can be used in a number of ways, and it's the law wasn't given until Sinai, right? And let's go back to Romans. In Romans chapter 5, there's a couple ways we can do this, but let me just in Romans 5:13. For until law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses. And so it's a mistake to try and make this offering a sin offering. As a matter of fact, over in Hebrew, it's referred to as gifts. And so you can show that it's not a sin offering, over in Hebrews 11, which I'll go there in just a little bit. So this is not a sin offering that's being made here. This is more of the idea of a tribute, of a gift, if you will. And so we can see it even translated that way. If we go to 2 Chronicles, and so let's, and I'll just give you the verses here, but you can see it translated as tribute, the same word translated as tribute, over in 2 Chronicles 26:8. You can see it translated as gift in 2 Chronicles 32:23. And so what we have here is Cain apparently had a good harvest. And he had more than he needed. And he brought some of the produce of the soil as a tribute, as a gift, if you will. Now, what's interesting is there's no indication that Cain brought the best, or that Cain was putting God first. It's not emphasized here. It's just not stated. Now, that's important because in the next verse, we do have indication that Abel brought the best he could bring. And so that's why I make that distinction. Otherwise, I wouldn't point that out. And so when we move on to the next verse, we're going to see the contrast. So we have the example of Cain's tribute. And he was caused to begin to bring of the fruit of the ground an offering unto Jehovah. Now we have the contrast in the next verse of an example of Abel's tribute. And so in Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock. Now here what's interesting is, if you can follow me, is Cain, his was an incomplete action. Okay, you had that hifil imperfect. And so he was caused to bring, but it was an incomplete action. He kind of had that show me. Well, Abel, in contrast, he also brought, he was caused to bring, but it's a perfect action. It's, in other words, it's complete. It's a completed action with abiding results. And that's how we say, I'd like to say it in the Greek, but it has a similar force in the Hebrew. And so it's a completed action though. And so it looks at the whole of the action. We'll put it that way. And so in Abel, he was caused to bring of the firstlings of his flock. And so the firstlings, the first rank, the firstborn. And so in other words, Abel's not putting himself first. Now, this is demonstrating he's putting God first. And then he says, and of their fat. Now to us in this, we're still kind of in the low fat era of the 80s. That might not sound like a good thing. But in the Hebrew, that's a very good thing. The fats has the idea of the best of the best, the finest, if you will. When you go, and then maybe you don't go, but if you go to the butcher, and you ask him to pick you out the best of the best for steak, well, he's probably going to pick out a steak that has marbling in it, because that's the best of the best. It has fat, and it's marbled in with the meat, and that's what gives it its flavor. That's what makes it so tender. The gives you a cut that has absolutely no marbling in it or no fats in it, you can be sure it's not the best of the best. But this word has that idea. If we go, this word fat, or fats. Let me just demonstrate this word a couple times. Let's go to Numbers. If you go to Numbers 18, chapter 18, and in Numbers 18, you can see that there were some benefits to being a Levite and serving in the sanctuary. And I won't expand the context too much, but here we have, in reference to the Levites, in Numbers chapter 18 and verse 12, we're going to see our word fats, fat, translated best. Let me pick up in verse 11. And this is thine, the heave offering of their gift, and all of the wave offerings of the children of Israel. And so the Levites were going to get these things. Have given them unto you. I have given unto you and to thy sons and to thy daughters with thee by a statute forever. Everyone that is clean in thy house shall eat of it. All the best of the oil and all the best of the wine. And so here you see it's translated the best. And it wouldn't make sense to call it the fat of the oil and the fat of the wine. It's the best. And of the wheat and of the first fruits of them which they shall offer unto the Lord, them I have given thee. And so there you see it used a few times. And so there's some other places we could see it translated best in verse 29 and 30. Same word. Out of all of your gifts, you shall offer every heave offering of the Lord and all the best thereof, even the hollow part thereof out of it. Therefore thou shalt say unto them, when you have heaved the best thereof from it, then shall it be counted unto the Levites as an increase of their threshing floor and as an increase of the winepress. And so it's the best. We can see it translated, the idea of the finest. Let's go to Psalms, in Psalm 81:16. Let me just back up to verse 10, but you're going to see in verse 16, you're going to see it translated as finest. I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Open thy mouth wide and I will fill it. But my people would not hearken unto my voice, and Israel would none of me. And I gave them up to their own heart's lusts, and they walked in their own counsels. So I backed up in that context because we're going to see Cain kind of have a similar response here. He says, oh, that my people had hearkened unto me and Israel had walked in my ways. I should soon have subdued their enemies and turned my hand against their adversaries. The haters of the Lord should have submitted themselves unto him, but their time should have endured forever. He should have fed them also with the finest of the wheat and with honey out of the rock should I have satisfied thee. And so here we just see our word translated finest, finest. I had one other place that we could illustrate this where it's translated finest. That's in Psalm 147:14. I'm not going to go there for time's sake. But you get the idea. And so when we come to the example of Abel's tribute, Abel was caused to bring, and it's a completed action, it's a fitful and perfect, of the firstlings of his flock and of their fat. In other words, he gave God the best that he had. He gave them the best that he had. He gave them the finest of the finest and the best of the best. Now, and then we see when it comes to Jehovah's response, he says, and the Lord or Jehovah had respect unto Abel and unto his offering, unto his tribute. And so he had respect. Now the word respect, it's a cal imperfect. And so Jehovah proceeded to have respect. And this word respect has the idea to gaze, to look with interest, to gaze with approval, to have regard. And so the idea here is Jehovah gazed with interest and approval unto Abel and unto his offering. Now it's, and so in other words here, what Abel did in giving of the firstborn, the first rank of his flock, of giving out of the best of the best, he demonstrated that he was putting God first. He was putting God first. He believed that God was who he revealed himself to believe. And as such, he gave God the best of the best. He wanted to have God to have the best of what he had. And so this was a true tribute. This wasn't of the leftover. This wasn't with a me first, show me attitude. Maybe the more I get, the more I'll get. The more I give, the more I'll get. That may have been Cain's attitude, but that wasn't Abel's attitude. Not at all. And so notice here, though, that God's acceptance, Jehovah's acceptance, was first of Abel and then of his offering. And so that's interesting because it wasn't the other way around. And so when it says, and the Lord had respect unto Abel, he gazed upon with interest and approval unto Abel and his offering. See, it was because of the heart and the fact that the action was done on the basis of faith. Faith produced something, and so God looked with approval on this tribute, first of Abel, and then his offering. Now let's go back and so I'm trying to set this up nice and high for Dave next week. And so you're gonna have to come to morning service next Sunday. Starts at 11:30. But in Hebrews 11 and verse 4, by faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts. And so here's where it tells you this. It wasn't if you're just going back in the Old Testament, I think a lot of the commentators try and make it a sin offering. Here it tells you right here in the New Testament, God testifying of his gifts, and through it, he being dead yet speaks. And so God sees faith. And so on the basis of Abel believing God in regards to what he had revealed about himself up to that point, and demonstrating by faith that he put God first, And so he was caused to bring of the firstlings of his flock and of their fat. And so Jehovah, he looked upon with approval upon Abel and his offering. Is all that, that's basically saying. Now in verse 5, he's going to come back and we're going to see that, Cain and his offering fell a little short. And so he says in verse 5, but unto Cain and to his offering, and King James reads, he had not respect. And so this is our same verbal form. It's in a perfect though. So again, you got this little play of between the imperfect to the perfect. And so in verse 4, God in the imperfect, he began to or proceeded to look upon or gaze upon Abel and his offering with favor or approval. Here it says, but unto Cain and his offering, he had no respect. He didn't look with interest or approval. Done action, completed action. He didn't need to see any more because there was no faith, no acceptance. Starts with Cain, then it would also start with the actions. And so, and then we see something as Cain responds. Not as somebody who was dejected, who was disappointed that he didn't get it right, wanted to know what he needed to do to get it right. But Cain was very, King James says, wroth. He was wroth. And so this word that they translated wrath, it's the verb means to burn, to be kindled. Kind of the idea to burn or be kindled to anger. And so wrath isn't bad, but it's an imperfect. And so Cain proceeded to be to burn exceedingly, and his countenance fell. And so it proceeded to fall. And it's just literally his faces. It's plural in the Hebrew. You got lots of parts on your face. And so, but his face, it proceeded to fall. And so Cain's tribute, we can see it fell short. It was in Cain's terms. It was without faith. And so it was a failure from the beginning. You know, if he was going to approach God, it was an absolute failure. Let me just read in Hebrews 11:6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him, just to be well-pleasing to him. For he that comes to God must, and the word must is a translation of a Greek verb that means it is necessary to believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And so it is necessary to believe that he is. Cain was from the show me state, or at least from the show me attitude. I don't know how he got the Missouri attitude. But that was his approach to God. Well, you are who you say you are. Show me. Keep showing me. Abel believed. And as a result, God was first, and that was demonstrated in his tribute of giving God the first rank in this flock and the fats thereof, the best of the best. And so Jehovah when it came to Cain and his offering, he didn't gaze upon it with approval or interest. And Cain proceeded to burn exceedingly, and his countenance proceeded to fall. And so Cain proceeded to have a fallen face that came from this intense anger or displeasure. In other words, it was very obvious. And so we see now in verse 6, and the Lord said unto Cain, the Lord here, when you see the Lord, by the way, with all capitals, L-O-R-D, we could translate that Jehovah. And so, and Jehovah said to Cain, why art thou wroth? And so he uses the cow perfect to ask him, why have you been kindled to burn with anger? this verb has the idea to burn, to be kindled, to become hot. And why is thy countenance fallen? He uses, and so Jehovah here uses the perfect tense. And so he's as hot as he can be, and his countenance, his face is literally have fallen. It's pretty obvious as to where Cain is as Jehovah speaks here. Now it's interesting is because Cain, we're going to see Cain has many opportunities to still get back on track when it comes to his relationship with God. In verse 7, we see Cain still had the opportunity to do what was good and pleasing to God. And so Jehovah says in 4:7, if thou doest well, shall thou not be accepted? And the word that they translated accepted just literally means lifted. And so some of your translations will connect this term with the use of the word lifted here in contrast to fallen. They'll supply the ellipsis, shall not thy countenance be lifted. Some of your translations will do that. But he says, if thou doest well. And the verb he used in the Hebrew, if thou doest well, he uses a hifil imperfect. If you be caused to proceed or to begin to do well. Now the word that they're translating here has the idea of to do good, well, or pleasing. You can see this, let me illustrate this over in Psalm 69:31. So in Psalm 69:31, we're going to see the same word translated pleasing. At verse 30, I will praise the name of God with a song and will magnify him with thanksgiving. This also shall please the Lord. And so here's, you see it translated please. This also shall please the Lord. Better than an ox or a bullock that has horns and hoofs. And so here we see it. And so here when Jehovah says, if you are caused to proceed to do well or good or that which is pleasing, shalt thou not be accepted or lifted. And if thou proceeds not to be caused to do well or pleasing, he says, sin lies at the door. And so sin here, he says, in the word for lies, it has the idea of crouching. Sin is crouching at the door, at the opening. So you've heard of the movie, I think it's called Crouching Tiger. No? It's not. Anyway, for my purposes, this is Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon. Because sin is crouching at the door, and there's a hidden dragon that's going to see, is going to be behind the scenes, ready to take advantage of Cain and his condition to make a trade-off and to start the world system. And so he says, if thou don't proceed to do pleasing or well or good, sin is crouching at the door. And unto thee shall be not his desire, I would translate it, its desire. Sin's desire. And then he says, and thou shall rule over not him, but I would translate it. And so basically what he's saying here in the Hebrew, if he doesn't proceed to do that which is well, sin is crouching at the door, ready to spring or to pounce to take advantage. And unto thee shall be its desire. And then he says, you must proceed to master it. To master it. Now, how would an Old Testament saint master, if you will, or to rule the sin nature? Now, he had to live out from it, but I believe, by context, I believe what's revealed here is the only way an Old Testament saint could have some rule over the sin nature is if his relationship to God was right and God was first. The only way the Old Testament saint could act right in relationship to his brother is if his relationship with God was right. And so that's what he's saying. If you begin to do what's pleasing, shall you not be accepted? And so there was still that potential here. In other words, this wasn't a lost cause at this particular juncture, as far as Cain and the decisions that he had before him. But now we come to verse 8 here. And we see, and Cain spoke to Abel, his brother. He proceeded to speak. It's a talib perfect. He proceeded to say, is how it typically would translate that. Some have contended that there's some textual issues here, some things that are left out. I'm just going to say Cain proceeded to talk unto Abel. Now remember, Abel was a prophet. So he had direct revelation from God. And so we don't know exactly what that conversation was, what was shared. We do know what Cain's response was. And it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and he slew him. He slew him. He killed him. He proceeded to kill him. And so this brings us up to the point where Cain rose up against his brother and he killed him. He proceeded to kill him. This is history's first recorded murder. A brother murdering his brother. So when we go back into the New Testament, we get some perspective. So I'm going to end here in Hebrews 4:8 today. We're going to come back next week and we're going to continue this story. And so there's some things that we'll have to put together, but I think some of these details are worth considering. You see some of the subtleties of how the world system can work and how the situation allowed Cain to be intimately involved with the establishment of Satan's world system. But if we go back to 1 John, in chapter 3, if you remember last week. In 3:10, John said, in this, the children of God are manifest. They're made plain, they're made obvious. And the children of the devil. Whosoever does not righteousness, this is not doing righteousness, I'm talking about positional righteousness, righteousness in Christ, is not out from God. Neither he that loves not his brother. For this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should agape one another. And as Christians, that's a new commandment, to agape one another as Christ loved. And so in verse 12, John says, not as Cain. Not as Cain. Isn't that interesting? How did Cain love his brother? Well, I think Cain loved his brother out from a fallen human nature, out of a me-first attitude. Out of a me-first attitude. It wasn't a God-first, and it wasn't a brother-first attitude. It was a me-first. It was human love, human emotional love from a fallen human nature. That's how he loved his brother. And so we're to love one another with God's quality of love, other-centered quality of love, a love that puts the other ahead of our own pleasure, and a love that puts God ahead of our own desires and wants, knowing that he ultimately is the only one good or of bringing true inner well-being and happiness. And so he says, not as Cain, who was of that evil one. And so it's interesting that he uses the imperfect here. And so here he says Cain was continually or constantly or repeatedly out from the evil one. Every time Cain had an opportunity to manifest clearly who he belonged to, he manifested that he was out from the evil one as the source. And so that's what that imperfect is showing you. And he slew his brother. And so he slayed him, his brother, as a sacrifice. And why did he slay him? Because his own works were evil. And again, he uses another imperfect. And so this is giving you perspective on Cain and his actions. His own works, plural, were continuously or constantly or repeatedly evil, malignant. And his brothers, talking about Abel's, was righteous. And so when we see that, we see that's not the not the kind of love that we want to have towards our brother and sisters. And Cain was that anger, that burning anger that had been kindled and was burning hot as he spoke to his brother. And I think there may have been, Abel may have been sharing with Cain revelation from God of how he needed to approach God. And Cain and his me first attitude, his show me attitude, blew his lid. And he acted in a way that not even the devil would have wanted him to act. Because you have the first example of one being manifested and the other being manifested as to what their true heart was. And so you might say Satan lost round one there, and he's been losing a lot of rounds ever since. And it's only as spiritual Christians and as we're doing the will of God and remaining settled in our position of in Christ that we continually manifest, make it plainly obvious that we're the born ones of God. Because it hasn't yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know when he shall appear, we will be like him, for we will see him as he is. Father, thank you for this day. We're grateful for these illustrations in your word, for the lessons that are there, and just for the encouragement that we have and for the privilege that we have to manifest that we are born ones. Thank you now for this day. In Christ's name, amen. Thank you.